I greet each of you in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are thankful for salvation through Jesus. And we are thankful this afternoon that as we gather at a time of grief, we do not grieve as those who have no hope, but we grieve with a real sense of assurance that we will see Elmer again. Minerva, you will see Elmer again. Family, you will see Elmer again. God has called our dear brother, Elmer Nolt, to his eternal home in heaven in the presence of Jesus. And we are here to thank God for the life of Elmer. And we are here, you are here as a family to comfort each other, to be a gift to one another. And we are here to gather and proclaim hope in Jesus. And I just want to say a word of appreciation to you. What a beautiful family you are. And what a gift Elmer has been to our church over the years. Thank you. Thank you, Minerva. Thank you to each of you. And I want to extend my sympathy to you, Minerva. 62 years, almost 62 years of marriage. Sunday, 62 years. I did the math. They were just teenagers when they got married. You spent your whole lives together. You grew up together. And together you built a home that in which Jesus was the foundation and hospitality and generosity and family. And your family is a legacy to Minerva and Elmer. And what I observed as I walked with you during this challenging time was, as I observed, God, through the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, giving you strength. And there are numerous people who have told me that when they would talk to Minerva, even in the midst of this tough time, that they were inspired, that they saw Jesus. And that's remarkable, that even in the darkest times, God is with us. Jesus walks through us in the valley of the shadow of death, and we will fear no evil. I want to extend my sympathy to each of you as children, Wanda and Marie and Barry and Brent, and to each of you as grandchildren and great-grandchildren, Colin and Owen. I know you guys the best, but to each of you, what a wonderful family. Some of you I've met, some of you I have not, but I know you loved your grandpa. I know you were proud of your grandpa, and I happen to know he was really, really proud of each and every one of you. He really was. He loved you all so much, but you don't need me to tell me that. You know that. You know that. You know, when I think about Elmer, he loved God. He loved family, loved his wife, loved you as children and grandchildren, and he also loved his work. That's special. You know, obviously the most important thing is that we know Jesus and that we're faithful to our family. But, you know, I think the mark of success in so many ways is that you find something you love to do and you can do it with all your heart. And this beautiful truck out here, I'm so glad, Brent, so glad you all parked that out here. It's just, he was able to continue. When did he make his last run? About a month ago?
The week before he went to the hospital.
Yeah.
He went to New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was 2.5 weeks.
Yeah. 3 weeks. Right. What a beautiful thing when you continue to work up until you're 80, even when you don't have to, just because you love to work, love to travel, love to do that. And I just think that's something that is a legacy. And as I know you as a family, that's that hard work and doing something well and enjoying life, but also enjoying work. You're proud of your grandfather and you have good reason to be. You know, when I picture Elmer, and I wonder how many, this may be unique to me and my perspective here of how I remember Elmer, but I remember him with an apron on. Do any of you remember him with an apron on? I do. And I'll tell you why. I remember you with an apron on, too. So often, when we would have funerals here, and this is during normal times when we would do meals like we normally do, is there's a crew of people here who just plan and prepare those meals, and Elmer would be down there faithfully, time after time after time, wearing that apron. I don't think Elmer grew up in a home where boys wore aprons. And I don't know how much you wore an apron in the home, but that's an image in my mind, one of many that I remember of Elmer. And I think what it says is Elmer was a servant. He loved to serve. And Minerva, you as well. And, you know, Brent, you're one of the children I know, that's you as well. That you're most in your wheelhouse when you're helping someone out, when you're serving someone. It's a legacy of all of you. You know, as I think about Elmer driving truck, I think that what a wonderful way for him to serve people. You know, I believe the thing that he most hauled most of the time was potatoes, wasn't it? He carried food to people to put on their table. What a wonderful way to serve your fellow man and do what you love. Well, when we think about the Christian life, the Christian life is so often compared to a journey, a pilgrimage, a trip. And that how fitting it is for when we think about Elmer as one who took a lot of trips in his lifetime. A lot of trips. He loved his home, loved his family, but he loved the road. And I identify with that part of Elmer. I'm not a truck driver, but I can identify with that. Love home, love family, but love the road. And that was Elmer. And you know the Christian life is so often compared to the ups and downs of a journey, of a trip. That we not every part of the trip is easy. And Elmer, I'm sure, could tell stories about traffic he was in, or times where the truck was breaking down, or times where it was snow, weather, yes. Yeah, tough weather. You all heard those stories. It's a pilgrimage. And the Christian life is a journey. And you'll come to know as I talk a little bit here, I don't know much about driving an 18-wheeler. Elmer obviously did. But it's one thing to take a truck loaded with potatoes up a mountain. I believe that wouldn't be terribly hard to learn how to do that. But where you really have to have skill as a truck driver is coming down the mountain. Knowing how to use your gears, knowing how to use your brake or your Jake brake, or how to skillfully maneuver down a mountain. And that's really where it's the most dangerous time in driving, is when you're coming down the mountain. And I want to suggest to each of you that the Christian life, for those of us who are younger, those of you who are younger, I'm not saying I'm more the middle age here, but for, particularly you, your grandchildren, who you're starting off in life, Colin, your age group, Owen, it's like you're going up the mountain. And when you're young, it's hard to imagine that how quickly the end of life will come, how quickly it is. We're 70, 80, 90 years of age, and those who are that age will tell you it goes a whole lot quicker than you'd ever imagine. And I think about the end of life as that time of coming down the mountain, and then suddenly you find yourself, as Elmer did in the last 3 weeks, in the valley of the shadow of death. And who could have ever imagined, you know, you as family, you wanted to be with him all the time, and yet couldn't, weren't allowed to. And so Elmer went through the valley of the shadow of death, knowing you loved him, hearing your voice on the phone, but went through it more alone than certainly would have been ideal. And I believe we can testify with assurance that when Elmer walked through the valley of the shadow of death, he felt no evil because God was with him. Christ was with him. And every single one of us someday, as we journey through life, we go up the mountain, we'll find ourselves at that same place in the valley of the shadow of death. And it's very important early in life, at some time in life, that we look to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm looking you to be my Savior. I need you to come into this truck with me and take the wheel. I need you to ride with me, to guide me, to lead me. And Elmer did that as a young man. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. He confessed his sins to Jesus. And he came to a place of salvation experience with Jesus Christ. And Jesus rode with him for the rest of his life. And so when this time came at the end of life, quicker than he would have ever thought, as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus was there with him. And people who don't know Jesus, it's as if they're coming down this mountain as if I was driving the truck with no idea how to work the gears, no idea how to use the brakes properly. And that's where we run into all kinds of problems. But when we know Jesus, we do not need to fear this time of steep descent into the valley. But we can trust Jesus, our Savior, to lead us safely home, and He will guide us. And what Elmer would want me to say to each and every one of you, accept Jesus as your Savior, reach out to Him, know Him. Know Him early in life. Give your life to Jesus. Let Him ride with you so that as you go over the mountains in life, as you go down those steep downhill parts of it, that you can look to Jesus who rides with you, who shows you, who takes the wheel, who will lead you safely home to eternal life. And we can be so thankful that in a very unideal kind of valley of shadow of death that Elmer went through, that Jesus was with him. Name Him early in life, and He will never leave your side. I want to just proclaim today just this precious treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes what we say to people is that, you know, if you've been to the Rocky Mountains 50 times, after a while, they maybe lose their sense of awe, and we should never lose our sense of awe of the wonderful mountain peaks. And in the same way, we should never lose our sense of awe for the majesty and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were far away, He brought us near. That every single one of us, though our sins be as scarlet, yet through Jesus they shall be white as snow. And one of the things that can be difficult for us to grasp a hold of sometimes, do you really believe this? That Billy Graham, when he died, needed Jesus just as much as the worst serial killer. That we come before Jesus at the end of our life, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, all of us stand in need of the grace of God. It's a little bit like when you're flying in an airplane and you look down and you see the mountains and the hills, they're all about the same height from 30,000 feet. And our sins are all equal in the eyes of God. We all need the grace of God. And the beautiful thing, that though your sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be whiter than snow. And I use this illustration a lot around here about when the snow comes. And it covers the landscape yards that are beautiful. And it covers the landscape yards like mine that are pretty rough. And that snow covers everything. But you know, I want to talk about that in the terms of vehicles today. You know, I used to drive a car, a 1985 Dodge Aries. You remember that, Brent, when I used to drive that thing? In fact, that thing looked so bad that some folks from the church came over to me and they said, you know, we want to make sure you have what you need. I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just too stubborn to get rid of it. So I did. It looked so bad. But that car looked so bad. I continued to drive that thing. I really knew it was time to get rid of it when you could actually see the road on a hole at the bottom right where the gas pedal was. And I look at how Elmer took care of his vehicles, a million miles on that truck, and it's beautiful as ever. But here's the thing. As bad as my Dodge, 85 Dodge Aries looked, parked out next to some BMW, when the snow comes, it covered my 85 Aries just as beautifully as it did that BMW, or just as beautifully as it does Elmer's beautiful truck out here. That is a picture of the forgiveness of God. You know, there was this serial killer who was in prison and sentenced to death penalty, committed some horrific, terrible, awful crimes, just unspeakable. And while he was in prison, someone led this man to salvation in Jesus Christ. And about 6 months later, he was killed in a prison violent act. He died. And when people began to say, do you realize this man is now in heaven? There were many Christians who balked at that and said, there's no way this man, after all he did, could possibly be in heaven. And people had to say, really? What do you really believe about the grace of God? Do you really believe that you need forgiveness just as much as the worst serial killer in the world, that we all stand that much in need of the grace of God? And it's true that God's arm of salvation is not too short to meet anybody. I need that salvation forgiveness just as much as the worst person in the world. We all stand in need of the grace of God. And that snow of salvation comes. And whether your truck is as beautiful as Elmer's or as ugly as the car I'm driving actually today, it covers. and it reaches us. And that is something to celebrate. That is something to rejoice in. And you know, we can, sometime here in Lancashire County, you know, we have strong work ethic around here. And with that strong work ethic can come sometimes a sense of shame if you don't quite get it done right, or this doesn't look good. Or we can kind of live with a sense of shame that makes it hard for us to really believe that the grace of God reaches us. After all that I've done, yes, the grace of God reaches each and every one of us who reach out and proclaim it. And Elmer, just like any of us, comes before Jesus. And Elmer may say to Jesus, but think about this that I did, or this that I did. And Jesus, I don't remember it. All I see is my shed blood for you, Elmer. Even if Elmer had been the only person who ever lived, Jesus would have died on the cross for him. And he would have died for each and every one of you if you'd have been the only person. His love for us is so great. So it's so important for us as we remember our dear brother Elmer and what he meant to us. We thank God for him, but most of all, we thank God for salvation, and thank you that Elmer reached out to God, to Jesus, and received forgiveness in Jesus, and he would want that for each and every one of you. And one of the things that the family, as we gathered and prepared for today, they talked a little bit about is just one of the things that Elmer would encourage you, keep loving each other. Keep loving each other as a family. Keep caring for each other. Keep doing what you're doing. The way you gathered there in that parking lot and supported one another as you went in to say your goodbyes. Keep doing those kind of things. You know, the kind of people that by the grace of God that your family is, you know, Minerva, I don't think I'll ever forget this, that when you were all there and we had a prayer there together in the Ephrata Hospital parking lot, you're getting ready on Wednesday to go and say what you knew would for this life was your goodbye. And then they said, Minerva has something she wants to put in your car. Because we were doing a food drive that day, collecting food for the community food bank. And Minerva, I couldn't believe it. She said, I have some food for you to take into church to take to the food collection. I thought, Minerva, you're at one of the toughest moments in your life. But it's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And it's beautiful. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you are with me. And God has been with you, and God has been with each of you as a family. We've been so blessed by Elmer and Minerva. This church is going to be right with you. And if there was ever a family where I did not worry about whether they're going to stand by and support Minerva, it's this one. So thankful. I want to read the obituary. And as I do this, the obituary, and by the way, this was so well written. Who wrote this? That was beautifully written. Thank you. There's a couple lines in here that I just think, wow, this person's a writer who did this. Together, you build a life of hospitality. It was just so beautifully written. But as we think about the race marked out for us, you know, when Elmer would take a trip, delivering potatoes to a certain place, he knew where he was going. He knew what he was going to be picking up for the most part. I'm sure there were times where things went off, but he knew what the mission of that trip was. And long before Elmer was ever born, God knew every detail of his life. And he knew that Thanksgiving Day 2020, that wasn't a surprise to God, that God knew that time would come. And Elmer faithfully completed the trip that God called him to take. And now he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. So as I read this this obituary, I just want you to think about this was the race that God called him to run, to drive. And in the midst of all these facts of his life, there's so much more, so much more. So the richness of life and the blessing. Elmer Z. Knoll. By the way, what does a Z stand for? Zimmerman. Okay, thank you. This had to... Okay. Some people... Some people just have a letter. My father-in-law, he just has a letter. That's it. Just doesn't stand for anything. Elmer Zimmerman Knowles, 80, of Talmadge, Pennsylvania, passed away early Thanksgiving, November 26, 2020, surrounded by his loving family at Ephrata Community Hospital following a brief illness. Elmer was married to Minerva M. Nolte Weaver, and they would be celebrating 62 years in December. Born in Akron, Pennsylvania, he was the son of the late Amos and Ada Nolte. He will also be missed by his four children, Wanda, wife of Carl Musser of Stevens, Marie, wife of Dale Martin of Myerstown, Barry Nolte, husband of Dawn Stroud of Lititz, and Brent Nolte of Brownstown, 12 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, siblings Vera, married to Jerry Sensnick of Quarryville, Pauline, married to Lannis Weaver of Quarryville, Amos Nolte Jr., married to Elizabeth of Peach Bottom, Aaron Nolte, married to Loretta of Ephrata. He is preceded in death by siblings Martin Nolte, married to Eva of Peach Bottom, and Mabel Nolte. Elmer was an active member of Grafdale Mennonite Church, where he served as a trustee and in numerous other positions. He was a truck driver for E.K. Bear & Sons for 55 years as an owner-operator. He and his wife enjoyed spending time at the beach in their home in Angola by the Bay, Delaware, and winters in Sarasota, Florida. And I always remember, Minerva, when you all would come back and your faces were so suntanned. I always remember just seeing the glow of your faces from the sun and being so glad you were back. I'm going to miss that about Elmer and both. They also loved to go camping and riding motorcycles with friends and family. He was happiest when spending time with his loved ones. What a beautiful sentiment. So true. Elmer was a devoted husband to Minerva, and together they built a full and happy life, firmly rooted in the values of faith, love, and hospitality. That's my favorite line. I'm going to read that again. Elmer was a devoted husband to Minerva, and together they built a full and happy life, firmly rooted in the values of faith, love, and hospitality. Elmer has gifted his loved ones with countless memories of laughter, kindness, and goodwill. He will be missed by all whose lives he has touched. Our family would like to extend our appreciation to the Ephrata Community Hospital for the love and care that they showed to Elmer and our family during his stay in the hospital. And I know you experienced the grace of God, even in that hospital time when you had various nurses, medical folks who loved the Lord and who were able to tell you that Elmer's ready to meet Jesus. And we can only imagine what that must be like for Elmer to see Jesus face to face. For us, it's the hard part. And this journey of grief, you know, grief is quite a journey. And sometimes when, you know, Christmas Day, you're going to expect it to be hard. And then there's other times where grief just sneaks right up on you. And so, Lord, we just pray for each and every one of you that as you travel this journey of missing Elmer, that God will be gracious to you and you will sense God's presence. You know, Jesus wept when he came to the home of Lazarus when he had passed away. Jesus wept. He entered into that suffering with his people, entered into that pain. And there's no emotion that you can't take to the Lord. You know, the psalmist, time and time again, you read the Psalms, the psalmist was very honest with God, didn't try to pretend, just poured it out to God. And in doing so, those feelings of pain were transformed into feelings of gratitude. But you can bring those to God because he loves you and he cares for you. I want to close with a prayer. Lord God, thank you for the 80 years we had Elmer. You've told us that our days are 70 and 80 if we're strong. And thank you that you gave Elmer the strength that we could have him with us for 80 years, even though it feels far too short. That the nearly 62 years of married life for Elmer Minerva, we wish they had more. But Lord God, we thank you for the blessing that Elmer was to each and every one of us. Thank you for the legacy of love and laughter, hospitality, generosity, hard work. Thank you for the way the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will have memories of a man they respected, a man who loved you, loved his wife, loved his family, loved the church, worked hard for the betterment of the people around him, Lord God. And Lord, now we would commend this family to your loving care. We particularly commend Minerva to your loving care and ask that you would watch over her, surround her. Lord, in those moments where grief just feels like it wants to swallow her up, we just pray an outpouring of your grace and your peace for those hard times that will come. And we just ask that she would sense you weeping alongside of her as she weeps. Comfort her, Lord God. And I pray that you would empower this family to be even more loving and supportive to each other. Thank you for this extraordinary gift of what a difference your presence makes in a family, where a family loves and cares for each other. And Lord God, we just pray for the days ahead. But Lord God, this afternoon, we thank you for eternal life made possible because you died on the cross and rose from the grave to forgive us of our sins, that though our sins be as scarlet, yet they shall be as white as snow. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to offer this benediction, and then I believe you're going to be coming up and having your time here at the casket. Take the time you need for that, and then we will go to the cemetery. It's kind of cold out there. I won't stretch it out too long out there, but we'll be going out there then. And just as a benediction, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in each and every one of us what is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you. And after you're done saying your goodbye here, we will, at the right time, go to the cemetery.